I feel a little bit of some pressure tonight. I guess there's a race that starts at 6 o'clock, and some people want to be home to see the end of it. And the ball game starts at 8, and so some of the Tiger fans told me, "You're not preaching overtime tonight, are you?" You know, I thought I had pressure this morning when I only had 15 minutes, but just so you know, none of that stuff affects my preaching anyway. So. But tonight, I have a sermon I want to preach. It sort of goes along with Labor Day, you know, celebrating Labor Day tomorrow. It also goes along with our Sunday school lesson that we had this morning. And tonight I want to just lift one little line out of the verses that we read a moment ago and use it for my title, my outline, and my message tonight. Son, go work today in my vineyard. You know, a lot of times when we read the Bible, we look at the whole passage, we look at the story like we did this morning, and we consider it in its entirety. But tonight I just want to lift one little plant from God's garden and examine it. I want to take one tree from his orchard and study it. One dish from the complete banquet that he has prepared for us and smell its fragrance, eat it by itself. One painting from his gallery and look at that that picture. One note from his song and look at that note. And again, son, go work today in my vineyard. So that's my introduction. And, you know, a lot of times I have a long introduction and just very few points. Well, I have 4 points tonight, and so I'll get right to them so as not to waste any time. I want you to notice 4 things. I want you to notice, first of all, that this instruction was given to his son. Son, go work today in my vineyard. And again, I'll ask the rhetorical question, who was supposed to go work? Who was supposed to go into the father's vineyard? The son. I want you to notice that it doesn't say, young son, go work today in my vineyard. It says, son, go work today in my vineyard. I want you to notice it doesn't say, experienced son, go work today in my vineyard. It just says, son, go work today in my vineyard. I want you to notice it doesn't say, trained son, go work today in my vineyard. It just says, son, go work today in my vineyard. I want you to note that it doesn't say, healthy son, go work today in my vineyard. It says, son, go work today in my vineyard. I want you to note that it doesn't say, talented son, go work today in my vineyard. It says, son, go work today in my vineyard. And I want you to note that it doesn't say, feel good son, go work today in my vineyard. It says, son, go work today in my vineyard. And I could go on and add to that list, and I'm sure you could, as you have heard it now. The verse says, it just says, son. And I think what God's trying to tell us all, that his children are supposed to work in his vineyard. His sons, his children, are supposed to work. He didn't differentiate. He didn't add adjectives to the subject son. He didn't say gifted son. He didn't say extroverted son. He said every son, everyone that's part of God's family, whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who is looking forward to going to heaven someday, is supposed to be working in his vineyard. Now, it's interesting to me, but it goes along with the rest of the Bible, that he didn't say, if you work, you can be my son. He says, since you are my son, I want you to work. And again, I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, but I'll remind you tonight that work for God, work for him, is not what gets us into heaven. It's not work. You know, these modern day theologians, they have it all mixed up. There are people preaching today that you have to do something, you have to work for God in order to get your sins forgiven, in order to get a home in heaven. The Bible doesn't say that. In Romans chapter 4, verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And there's some people say, well, I got to work in order so that I can go to heaven, and that's not right. It's not our works that gets us into heaven. Working for God doesn't change one thing about you going to heaven. It may determine what kind of rewards you get when you get there. It may determine, you know, there's only one street in heaven, so don't take this wrong. It may determine what street you live on. It may determine what your mansion looks like, but it does not determine whether you get into heaven or not. It is not our works that makes us right with God. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary and our acceptance of what he did for us on the cross that gets us into heaven. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." We are not saved by our work. We are not saved by joining the church. We are not saved by getting baptized. We are not saved, as we did this morning, by taking the Lord's Supper. I believe in all those things, and I believe you ought to live a good life and do good things. I believe you ought to get baptized after you get saved. I believe that you ought to join the church that God leads you to. I believe that you ought to take the Lord's Supper every time the church has it, and we ought to do like we did this morning. We ought to focus on what Jesus did for us on Calvary. But none of those things makes us right with God. None of those things gets us into heaven. Getting saved comes by faith. It comes by what Christ did for us on Calvary. And it's not believing in what you do that gets us into heaven. It's believing in what's already been done. Amen? Already been done. You know, if I had to depend on my works to get me into heaven, here's the question I would ask. How much do I have to work? How much does it take? Have I done enough? Is there more I need to do? And I could never have rest in my salvation. I can never be secure in my salvation because I'd always wonder, have I done enough? And I'm so glad that it doesn't depend on me. I'm so glad it doesn't depend on my works. I'm glad it depends on a finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. When he says, "It is finished," what he was saying, everything's been done. All you need to do is receive it. All you need to do is take it. And if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, that's all you need to do. You don't need to join this church. You don't need to become a Baptist. I was talking to somebody this morning. I was talking to somebody this morning, and they were trying to tell me that the Catholics were the first one on the scenes, and every religion today comes from the Catholic Church. I said, that's not right. Who told you that? I said, I know there's people that say, you know, Peter was the first pope, but Peter wasn't the first pope. Peter was a Baptist. Come on now, let's get this straight. I mean, he got baptized, didn't he? He got dunked all the way, didn't he? He didn't get sprinkled or anything like that. The Baptists were the first ones on the scene. And again, it's not because of baptism. It's not because of joining this church. If you're not saved tonight, all you got to do is put your faith in Jesus Christ. He loved you, and it's because of his mercy and because of his grace that he offers salvation to every single one of us. And I prayed this morning in my prayer after the Lord's Supper, and I hope this is true of every single one of us. Don't ever get over your salvation. Don't ever get over the wonder. You know, the writer of Hebrews wrote, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Don't ever get over the wonder that Jesus died for you. I mean, whenever I think that, you know, I begin to take that for granted, I begin to look at my life before I got saved. I begin to try to look at myself like Jesus looked at me, like God looked at me. I say with Paul, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And the fact that he was willing to die for me, to take my place on Calvary's cross, I don't ever want to get over that. And I want you to ever get over it. I want you to just bathe in it all the time. I want you to think about it. And I want you to think, oh, what a good God. What a lovely God. What a great God that he would send his son to die in my place. So it says son. I sort of think that includes every single one of us that name the name of Christ, that are on our way to heaven, that have our name written in the Lamb's book of life. I want you to notice number two. It says, son, go work. Go work. You know, work is not a popular subject in today's world. But it says, go work. It doesn't say, go hear the vine dresser speak three times a week. It says, go work in my vineyard. It doesn't say, go study in my university. It says, go work in my vineyard. It doesn't say, go relax in my lounge. It says, go work in my vineyard. It doesn't say, go attend my religious conventions. It says, go work in my vineyard. It doesn't say, go dabble in my work. It says, go work. It doesn't say, go worship in my sanctuary. It says, go work in my vineyard. It doesn't say, go discover my theology. It says, go work in my vineyard. It doesn't say, go shout in my house. Although I think it's good every now and then to get excited and shout in the Lord's house. I was apologizing to some people on Wednesday night. I said, I'm sorry I got so excited. I know it's just supposed to be a Bible study. I just lost myself and got excited. But it doesn't say, go shout in my house. It says, go work in my vineyard. It doesn't say, go serve in my committees. It says, go work in my vineyard. I know there are people that come to church and they think, well, I've been a member of this church and I come every time the doors are open. I hardly ever miss a service. But that's not the point. It's not just being here. It's not just filling up that spot of pew that you fill up. It's not just coming three times a week and hearing a lesson or a sermon or hear somebody sing. It's going to work in his vineyard. You see, this place is like a gas station. This is the place that we come to get our tank filled up. This is the place that we come to get excited, to get our energy, to get our strength, to get our courage to go work in his vineyard. Working in his vineyard, the secret is not eloquence. It's not being able to speak with eloquence. I mean, Moses, he said, I can't talk plain. And God said, it doesn't matter who made man's tongue. And if God can use a stammering tongue like Moses had, he can use anybody's tongue. He's the one that made the mouth. He's the one that made the tongue. And there are people out there that can't talk any better than you that need somebody that talk like you to talk to them. Amen? It's not eloquence. It's not talent. I'm glad that God has given us a bunch of talented people. I'm glad they're willing to use their talents. But you know, you can work for God if you don't have any talent at all. You can work for God if you don't think he's given you any gift of one. Although I would remind you, and I think God gives to every Christian gifts. I think every single person has a gift. I'll talk about that in a minute. But he gives us gift. But it doesn't depend on your gift. It doesn't depend on your talent. It doesn't depend on how you talk. It just depends on your willingness to go and to work in his vineyard. I don't know if you remember, when I was growing up, there was a TV show called Dobie Gillis. Any of you everybody remember Dobie Gillis? There was a beatnik on that Dobie Gillis show named Maynard, better known for Gilligan and Gilligan's Island later. But he was a beatnik. Anytime he heard the word work, he got the heebie-jeebies. I mean, he just began to sweat and he began to shake. And whenever the word work, whenever he said the word work, he'd say it in a high-pitched voice. Work! He just couldn't stand it. And he didn't work very much. But you know what? A Christian that doesn't work is a miserable being. Because you see, God made us to work. I read Ephesians 2:8-9 a minute ago, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works every man should boast. But verse 10 of that passage says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God, after he saved us, made us to work. He's given us a job to do. And if we don't get busy and go to work, it's like a fish that won't swim, a bird that won't fly, a dog that won't bark. We're supposed to work. I ran across this little poem I thought was cute that goes along with this point. It says, like a fire with no glow, like a winter with no snow. I know some of you like that because you leave and go someplace where you don't get any snow, but like a winter with no snow, like a river with no flow, like conviction without a no, like an oar without a row, like a wind without a blow, like a scale without a zero, like a pitcher without a throw, like a harvest without a sow, like a trip without a go, like a kneader without dough, like excess without overflow, like a foot without a toe, like a gardener without a hoe, like a cock without a crow, like a con without a pro, like a high without a low, like a truth without a no, like a fast without a slow, like a buck without a doe, like an actor without a show, like above without below, like a two without a fro, like violins without a bow, is a Christian who will not go. So he says, son, go work. Go work. Go work. You know what's wrong with most churches today? They have too many spectators, not enough participants. They have too many people that just want to watch and don't want to work. So he says, son, go work. And then I want you to notice number three, what the next word is. Today. Go work today. Son, that's all of us. Go work. That's what God commands us to do. And he says, I want you to go to work today. Today. Some people say, well, I worked yesterday. That's good. God says, go work today. Some people say, well, I'm training so I can work tomorrow. That's good. But go work today. God didn't say, son, when you grow up, son, when you get trained, son, when you get some experience, that's when you need to go. He said, no, go today. That means that those that have been saved for just a couple months, they need to go work. That means a little three-year-old Christian, somebody that's been a Christian for 3 years, they need to go work. That means somebody that's been saved for 10 years needs to go work. That means somebody that's been saved for 25 years needs to go work. That means somebody that's been saved for 50 or 60 or 70 years, go work. Not when you grow up, today. Not when you graduate, today. Not when you're trained, today. Not when you're married, today. Not when you become an adult, today. Not when you are young, today. Not when you get talent, today. Today, today, today is when God wants us to work. You say, why? Why today? Well, because first of all, people are dying and going to hell today. There are people that took their last breath today. Their lungs took in their last bit of air. Their heart beat for the last time. They went to hell because nobody told them about Jesus. Today, why? Because today's the only day we got. I mean, yesterday and tomorrow, they're dead. Only today is alive. The only time we have to work for Christ is today. I know folks, and you know too, they're either living in yesterday or they're living for tomorrow. But again, we don't have either one of those days. That's why it's so wonderful that Jesus said in the Bible, that God said in the Bible, that I am. You remember when he called Moses? And Moses says, well, when I go to your people and I tell them that you sent me, who should I say sent me? And God said, tell them the I am sent you. Not the I was, but the I am. Not the I will be, but the I am. You know, there's a lot of people that want or say, well, I was a wuzzer. I used to work. Or I am a has-beener. I used to work. Some people say, well, I'm going to be a gonna-doer. Or I'm going to be an after-whiler. Or I'm going to be a yesterdayer or a tomorrower. That's why we're not happy. We need to be an I am-er. An I am-er. Somebody that works today. Some people think that after they've served Christ for so long, they can retire from the work of God. Remember that verse in Proverbs? There is no discharge in this war. Nobody retires from the work of the Lord. Nobody retires. I mean, we're in this for life. I mean, the pension's good, but we don't start drawing the pension. Well, I shouldn't say that. We get blessings down here. But, I mean, when we get to heaven, I hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for them that love him and that work. Again, you don't get up there by working. We get up there by faith in Jesus Christ. But there are rewards in heaven for those that work for him. I was talking to my mom last night, sharing the news that Aaron shared with me. And she said, you know, I never, it's like Brother Paul said last night, we were talking about him being 75 years old Tuesday. He said, you know, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. And I told him, yeah, I said, but we don't find that out until it's too late. But I was talking to my mom last night, and she said, you know, I never thought I'd have a son that was 60 years old. I just never thought I would live that long. And I told her, I said, well, why not? I said, didn't you think I was going to make it that long? She said, there were days I didn't think you were going to make it that long. She said, no, I didn't think I was going to make it that long. And I'm 60 years old. At 60 years old, do you quit becoming your mother's son? No. I'm still her son. Just like I am God's son. And I will never get too old to be his son. And when he says, son, go work today in my vineyard, he included me. He included me. And then number four, I want you to notice, he says, son, I see Terry looking, see there? 5 minutes, I'm going to finish, bud. Now I'm going to preach another 20 minutes because he looked at his watch. You can all blame him. He says, son, go work today in my vineyard. Son, that's all of us. Go work. That's what he wants us to do. Today is when? Where? In my vineyard. Now, what's the Lord's vineyard? A lot of people read that verse and say, well, that's the world. That's the world. And I don't think it's the world. Just hang on. Just stay with me for a minute. I think his vineyard is his church. I think his vineyard are his people. And he says, I want you to go work today in my vineyard. And this is the part that goes along with the Sunday school lesson this morning. See, God has brought us together as a church. He's brought us, just assembled us together like he put Adam together in the Garden of Eden when he made the first human body. He's put us together. And like the Sunday school lesson said this morning, every single one of us are indispensable to the body. You know, Brother Paul's, let's see, it's his grandson's stepdaughter. We need to pray for her because her appendix burst. Sherry, Brother Paul was telling me about it last night. His grandson Luke, his stepdaughter, right, Rita, I'm saying it right? She's in the hospital because her appendix burst. And we need to pray for her. But my point is, every part of our body is needed. It serves a function. And every person in this church has a function. I mean, you were put here for a reason by God. He brought you and made you a part of this body, and he had a specific thing in mind when he did that. And so when he says, I want you to go work in my vineyard, what I think he's talking about in this verse is going to work in his church and being in his church what he made you to be in this body, fulfilling the function in this body that he has made you for, that he's brought you here for. There are people here that need your help. Only you can help them. Nobody else can help them. Only you. Your experience, what you've been through, the valleys, as Kelly sang about a moment ago, the valleys that you've been through, somebody else may be going through those valleys now, and God has put you here to help them make it through that valley. There are people here that only you can encourage. And it might be just the way you smile. It might be just the way you shake their hand. It might be just the way that you clap them on the back or you give them a hug. I mean, they need your encouragement, and only you can give it because you give it in that unique way that you encourage others. And so God says, hey, you're my son. I want you to work today in my vineyard. Don't wait till tomorrow, because the person that needs your encouragement, the person that needs that help getting through that valley, they need it today. They didn't need it yesterday. They don't need it tomorrow. They need it today. Only you can love people like you love people. I mean, we all love people in different ways, but only you can love like you love. And there are people that are in this body, in his vineyard, that need your love expressed to them today. There are people that only you can pick up. There are people that only you can pray for, and they need your prayers. I mean, they need for you to pray for them, and only you can do that. Nobody else can do it like you can do it. And so God says, go work today in my vineyard. He's put us here for a purpose. He's put us here for a reason, and nobody else can fulfill that purpose. Nobody else can fulfill that reason, only you. And so he says, today, go work in my vineyard. So let me ask you tonight. I'm closing. I'm going to go another 10 minutes just so I can get Terry, but I'm closing. Let me ask you, what are you doing in God's vineyard? What are you doing in God's vineyard? You say, well, I'm a tither. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're a tither. But you know what? You will not get one reward, I believe, in heaven for tithing. Don, stand up for a minute. I want to honor Don tonight. He's a good guy. He did something this week that everybody needs to know about. You know what he did? He didn't rob a bank. Did you? I want to make sure. Okay. I got to make sure my example's right. But he didn't rob a bank. He didn't take a gun. He didn't put a mask on. He didn't go into a financial institution and rob it. Now, is there merit in that? Should he be rewarded for that? Probably not. Okay, thank you, sir. You can sit down. Now, same way about tithing. And I don't preach about tithing much because you don't need it much. But, you know, when we tithe, we're not doing anything for God. We're just giving what's rightfully his. We're just giving it back to him. I mean, the tithe is his. It doesn't belong to us. I mean, we're just giving back to him what belongs to him in the first place. Rewards are given not for what you don't do, but for what you do, for the work that you do. Harry, you've had people that work for you that run your payroll, right, in the companies you've run? So let's just pretend tonight that I work for you, okay? And so I come to you at the end of the week, and you say, Daryl, how many hours did you work this week? And my answer is, I didn't work. I worked zero. But I didn't cuss this week. Are you going to pay me? No. He says, how many hours you work this week? I said, well, I didn't work any, but I didn't steal anything. You going to pay me? No. No. I come another time. He says, how many hours did you work this week? I give him the same answer. I said, I didn't work any hours this week. I absolutely did nothing for you, but I didn't do anything wrong. You going to pay me? No. And every single person that has employees, it's the same thing. We don't get paid for not doing something that we're not supposed to do in the first place. We get paid when we work. When we work. When we work. So don't expect to not do anything bad and then get to heaven and God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's not the secret. The secret is to go work today in my vineyard. And again, there are people in this body that God has put you here for them. And so he wants you to work in his vineyard so that you can be to them what they need. So that we can go out of this place into the fields that are white with harvest, ready for harvest, as we've heard in some of the testimonies tonight, and tell people about Jesus and see them get saved so they can come and be part of God's vineyard as well. So, son, that's all of us. Go work. That's the command. Today, that's now, not yesterday, not tomorrow, in my vineyard. That's this place. Not the building, but this body. This body. And God has brought us together for a purpose and for a reason, so that we can encourage one another, so that we can teach one another, so that we can pick one another up, so that we can love one another, so that we can go out there and we can be a witness and we can tell people about Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray they'd understand tonight. They don't get into heaven by working. They get into heaven by what Christ did for them on Calvary. And I pray tonight they'd ask Jesus to be there. I pray they'd come in just a second, and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how Jesus could be their Savior. And Father, I pray for the Christians that are here tonight. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. If there's something that is very specific that we need to do tonight, I pray you put that on our hearts and on our minds. We'd be obedient. Father, if we just need to renew our vow to be what you want us to be, not only in this place, in this vineyard, but Father, in the fields that are white, ready for harvest, and then that we would take care of that as well tonight. So just bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.